Good morning. Welcome to St. John's on this beautiful red Pentecost Sunday. We're so glad to have you here worshiping with us so that we can indeed spread the good news, not only among us within this congregation, but to those outside these walls. And I just heard the air conditioning hook kick on, so that should be a good thing, right? Okay, just a few announcements. Number one, we want to welcome back to the pulpit this morning the Reverend Andrew Bierken, who is joining us to fill in for Marty. I did hear from Marty last night, and the wedding of his youngest granddaughter went off without a hitch. Everything was very, very well done. And he was excited because he said, being the senior member of the family, he was being catered to. So I said, so you're being spoiled rottener than usual. And he said yes, and he said, I'm taking every bit that I can. So he will be back in the office this week, but he did send his blessings for today. Okay, there we go. One step, right? At least we're not doing the two-step up here, right? Okay, second announcement is a reminder that today after our worship, we'll be gathering down here in the portico for cookies and lemonade. And so please stop by and, you know, let's take that time to fellowship with one another and let's enjoy some nourishment for our bellies as well. Third announcement is next week is Memorial Sunday. So if you can spread the word and make sure that we are in our right space to celebrate that very sacred day. Are there any other announcements for the good of the community? No. We also want to invite, or we also want to welcome Kendra back with us. It's a good thing I turned around. Kendra is here as our flautist today, so we always enjoy her music when she is with us. Well, let us pause in respect and in honor and in worship of our God most holy.
Thank you. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Good morning. Would all who are able please rise and join me in the call to worship found in the morning bulletin. Scripture tells us of how time and again God's Spirit has been poured out upon God's people,
renewing, recreating, and reinvigorating the community of faith.
On this Pentecost Sunday, we come to this place and time of worship confident that God is with us.
The Holy Spirit will be our guide, our comfort, and our truth.
With the universal church in all its history and diversity, we pray,
come, Holy Spirit, refresh and renew us in hope, peace, joy, and love.
Let us worship our God in spirit and in truth.
join me in the prayer of adoration and confession. God of awesome power, you breathed into the void, and there was form. You breathed into the darkness, and there was light. You breathed into death, and there was life. Breathe into us the breath of your spirit. We pray that newness may arise, and waters flow as streams in the desert to bless the earth. Our lips and lives give praise to you, source of all life and God of our salvation. On this day of Pentecost, we join in community to invite and celebrate your power and presence within us and among us. Again today, God, we will hear that when the day of Pentecost had come, the disciples were all gathered together, and suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Help us be aware that you are present with us, as real to us here on this day of Pentecost as to those first disciples in ancient Jerusalem. Give us a sense of expectation and excitement in our gathering together. By your Spirit, empower us to better understand one another, so that as individuals, communities, and nations, we can avoid misunderstandings that so often lead to distrust, anger, and conflict. Help us to live in the assurance that your Spirit gives us new beginnings, and that your love is always available to your people. It is in Jesus' name we pray.
Hear the good news. Apart from God, there is no life at all. Those who confess their sinfulness find the true life that enlivens everyone. They are reborn and refilled with the holy and potent breath of the Spirit. Thanks be to God. Dearly beloved, believe in the good news.
Please be seated. Today, on this Pentecost Sunday, it is time to read the infamous passage from Acts 2, verses 1 through 24. Having taught confirmation and being very active in this church, this is truly my favorite passage of the Bible. Hear now the scripture. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this time the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Fellow Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know. This man, handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having released him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and understanding of this God's holy words. Amen.
Come, Spirit, truth divine, and dawn upon this.
It is good to see the faces of so many old friends. And by old friends, I mean we've been friends for a long time. I don't mean your faces are old. From the Gospels. In John chapter 14. I said these things to you while I'm still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. The Gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. I've already had two people say to me, I remember how you like funny sermon titles, or your sermon title has caught my interest. Good. Journey with me, if you will, back to your days in middle school or high school. I'm giving us a minute, because for most of us, that's quite a long trip. I'm guessing that for most of us, one of the motives in our behavior, our dress, our choices in those days was a powerful desire to simply fit in. We wanted to be one of the gang, the group, the clique, the cluster. We wanted to simply look and sound like those around us. We didn't want to stand out. We wanted to spend our time and what little money we might have had just the same ways that our friends were doing. Same hairstyles, guys and girls. Same shoes. Same pants, skirts, shirts, and hats. Same slang terms, same favorite tunes. We wanted to be one of the group. We didn't want to stand out. Even when we were asserting a little individuality, we all did that asserting in the same way. Guys grew their hair longer. We all wore bell bottoms that felt so good at the time but looked hideous in pictures going back to those days. We find old photos and we shake our heads and we say, What fools. Even if we can resist thinking that way, our children and grandchildren reinforce those thoughts. Is that you, Grandma? And who's the guy beside you with the long hair, with any hair? We really wanted to fit in. And in our rebellion, we looked the same. One of the worst things anyone could say to us back then was, "You're weird." Now let's think about what the pious Jews were observing in the late first century that we were hearing about this morning. Let's think about what the followers of Jesus were portraying to the observers. The followers were a bunch of folks jammed into a house and being blown about by a stiff breeze of unknown source. They were shouting out at one another in many languages. And each one understood all the other languages. They understood what each other was saying. They were all praising God and thanking God for what God had done for them. The pious observers decided that this bunch of people had to be drunken fools. Peter defended them and said, "It's too early in the day to be drunk." So they're just filled with the Holy Spirit. Not with wine. The pious Jews probably went away saying, "What a bunch of weirdos." That day, in that place, to be a follower of Jesus was to be gack, a weirdo. Throughout the centuries since then, though, Christians have come to be increasingly normalized by the society around them, wherever they were. In fact, the times in which most of us were raised, being a Christian and having membership in a church, they were seen as being almost routine. Move to a new town, get some place to live, scope out the schools, find a job if you don't already have one, and find a church. Church membership was more than common. It was usually assumed. In Cincinnati, that period of assumption was the 50s and early 60s. Proof of that is found if you drive around town a little bit and look at the buildings, especially the Sunday school wings and the fellowship hall additions, and look at the cornerstones and see how many either new buildings or additions to buildings happened and were dedicated 1961, 62, 63. Things were good for the Christian church. They weren't weirdos. They were the normal people. Church membership appeared on college applications and on professional resumes for job interviews. Christianity in this country became the epitome of normal. But times have changed. Societal values have changed. Generations have changed. The world's political climate has changed. And so has normal. Churches have been marginalized to the edges of society and are often declared by many as irrelevant. So I submit to you that Pentecost is more than just ritual. Indeed, Pentecost is more important than ever. The essence of Pentecost is in four ideas: together, commonly understood language, telling positive stories, hoping and praying. Can you think of a time when those four concepts were more badly needed than they are in our lives, in our culture, in our world, right now? To be a follower of Jesus these days is to behave and live outside the new norms. Followers of Jesus emulate him by loving instead of hating, by being generous in times of financial insecurity, to get together rather than fragment and divide, to welcome newcomers instead of being wary of them and condemning them if they seem different than us. To hope instead of despairing. To pray, seeking God's guidance, rather than trusting polls to direct us. To be a follower of Jesus is to resist just about every social norm. We're called to care when it's much safer to isolate ourselves. We are called to give a hoot in a world that is hootless. If we individually and collectively can do, think, and act in these now abnormal ways, people will probably notice. And you know what they're going to say? What a bunch of weirdos. Pentecost, over and over and over again, is being a bunch of weirdos. My prayer is that we will all, individually and together, accept that that is one of our God-given calls. Let's, when we leave here and go out into the world, be a bunch of weirdos. Amen.
Are there any joys and concerns that we would like to lift up for the community this morning? I have one, and that is to please keep Karen Ladine in your prayers. Karen left last Sunday morning to go to Chicago to visit with her brand new granddaughter. And she arrived on Mother's Day and everything was fine, but she ended up having to go to the emergency room. I believe it was on Thursday. It was her birthday. So they found out, couldn't figure out what it was. At first they thought she was dehydrated, but after additional tests, they found out that she had pneumonia. So she ended up coming back home last night. So please keep her in your prayers. The flowers today are in honor of her brother, Bob Mackey, who is up in the Chicago area. So let's take some breaths, breathe in and breathe out before we go into prayer together. So let's take a breath in and breathe in God and let it out. And breathe in God and let it out. And since today is Pentecost, let's breathe in the Holy Spirit and breathe out the breath of God. Be still, be silent, Behold how God is working within you during this silent time.
Loving God, you have richly blessed us, and we are grateful. We are grateful for our homes and for our families, near and far. We are grateful for our friends, old and new. Those who have been in our lives forever and those who were a part of us for yet a season. We're grateful for food in abundance, for freedom so great that we assume, for the opportunities to work and to rest, and for those blessings particular to each one of us. We pray for our world that it might come to know peace. For our nation, that we will grow in a sense of fairness and justice. For our church, that we will be faithful to our mission. For our families, that they will grow in love and pass that gift on to the next generation. We pray for our friends asking health and happiness. We pray with those that celebrate, grateful for their joy. But we pray for those that are healing, seeking solace and wholeness. We pray for those that grieve, seeking grace. We pray for those that are angry, that they might know inner peace. We pray for ourselves, that our needs might be met, and that we will be ever conscious of the difference between our needs and our wants. And Lord, we ask for no miracles, and if an occasional miracle, rarely so. We ask that you use us and use our church to visit the lonely, to cheer up the downcast, to motivate the frustrated, to befriend the angry, and to love those who seem to be trying very hard to be unlovable. Use us, Lord, as tools for your work, as vehicles for your love, and as instruments of your peace. We say all these thank yous and please do's and help us. We say all this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning. I have good news. News that I could have said earlier, but if you remember last week, Marty asked for prayers for Harold Clark. And Harold was, well, the doctor said that, you know, he couldn't do anything else for him. He had one lung completely collapsed, the other lung partial. That was Sunday. And after St. John's prayers, the lung started working. He now is off of his ventilator and doing well. And so I want to thank St. John's, because all of a sudden he gets better. And you know, that power came from someone. Gosh, you can do that again, you know. Anyway, I want to tell you what I feel about this church. We were married here 54 years ago. And that baptismal font, if you remember my last little speech when I was baptized here, I thank God I wasn't in Lewis County where they drown you in the creeks. So I love that font. Our children both were confirmed here. Our daughter's funeral was here. So I want this place to go on and on. Well, there's a major problem of this place going on, and you guys know what it is. We've gotten down to, you know, 40, 50 special few people. We are spending more money than we're taking in. And of course, we've got money. We're dipping into that. But if you do that forever and ever, you know, eventually, it's not good. We have two major problems. One is our windows. Now, they look okay from the inside looking out, but as you know, when you come in the side door, they need work. So I've been working on talking to people about those. One man's coming this week to look at them. And you don't have to look up far to our vents and see another major problem. We got vents that need clean. And I can't find too many people that want to climb up there and do it. But I'm afraid the whole system is going to have to be clean. That is just the end part of it. And you can imagine what the other vents are. So council decided last week, if you remember, when we needed roofs, what did we do? We raised $200,000+. Of course, that's when we were a big congregation. Now we're a small congregation, so we've set a goal of $25,000. Now, we don't know how much this is going to cost, but at least $25,000 will help. We are afraid that members may deduct from their regular giving, and that's not what we mean. We need extra money. Well, $25,000 sounds like a lot of money, but if you realize 40 people gives $10 a month, after 10 months, that's $16,000. So what I'm asking, starting next week, have another envelope and mark it buildings and grounds. Let's do a new, I don't know what you call it, a new fundraising, but we need that separate. And God bless you all. Let's get that $16,000. We'll start doing it next week. We'll pay for whatever we have done out of our money, but we need to replenish that money. Okay? Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. So let's keep the spirit alive in this church. And remember that it does take resources to keep our buildings and grounds up and running as well. God has fed us and we have not noticed. God fills our lives with good things, and we take the credit. We take the credit. God's gifts are so numerous we cannot count them. Now is the time to declare by our giving that we are grateful. Now is the time to claim the mission of God, the mission that God entrusts to us as we express our thanks. The ushers may come forward.
Thank you.
join me in a prayer of dedication. Creating and giving God, in this Pentecost Sunday, we claim the blessing of your Holy Spirit at work in us as individuals and as a faith community brought together in the name of your Son, our Savior, Christ. We thank you, our Father Spirit. We are being made one in heart and mind and love. Because your Spirit is working within us, we want to share what we have with others. In bringing this offering, we express a willing participation in Christ's ministry. Accept our gifts for his sake. Amen.
John's is open to all, saint and sinner, lost and found, believer and seeker. We partake of the bread together to symbolize our unity and community as God's people. We shall partake of the cup individually to symbolize our solitariness as we each stand alone before our God. And for those who are visiting with us or who just need that reminder, the outer rings of the trays are wine. The inner center of the trays are white grape juice.
It is Jesus Christ himself who invites us to a meal served in this place and at this time. He invites us to come not because we must, but because we may. He invites us to come not through hurdles and barriers, but through open gates of welcome and affirmation. He invites us to come not because we are strong, but because sometimes we feel pretty weak. He invites us to come not because we are sinless and this is our reward banquet. No, he invites us to come because we are painfully aware of our own shortcomings. And this is first aid. If you desire a more intimate relationship with God through his Son, and a more healthy relationship with the people in your life, we invite you to come to the Lord's table and enjoy the open, warm, loving communion of this church. on the night in which Jesus would be betrayed, he held before his disciples a loaf of bread, saying that it was his body that would be broken for them. He shared the bread with his disciples. Ministering to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we will share bread.
And likewise, after they had supped, Jesus took the cup and he poured out the wine. And he said, "This is the cup of my blessing. This is the new covenant in my blood, which is and has been poured out for you for the remission of sins. Take and drink." Ministering to you in his name, we also bring you this cup. The ushers may come forward.
Consecration. Heavenly God, we pray your consecration on these simple elements, this bread and this cup, that in this hour they may be food not only for our bodies, but also for our spirits. May we in our song and our silence, our partaking and our prayer, be drawn into an ever deepening relationship with you through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In whose name we gather about this table.
Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
The body of Christ broken for us. Take and eat. This is in remembrance of him.
This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for all, so that your sins may be forgiven. Take and drink.
Please join me in a prayer of thanksgiving. Eternal God, you have called your people from the east, west, north, and south to eat at the table of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Christ's presence and for the spiritual food of Christ's body and blood.
By the power of your Spirit,
keep us faithful to your will.
Go with us to the streets,
to our homes, and to our places of labor and leisure, that whether we are gathered or scattered, we may be servant church,
the servant Christ, in whose name we rejoice and pray. Amen.
Amen. And now as we depart this place where we are comfortable and normal and go out into the world risking being weird in order to be faithful, may God give guidance to straighten our path. May God give strength to keep us in the way. And may God give truth to guide us and love to unite us. Friends, go in peace. Amen and amen.